today I want to talk about faith. You know, I know faith seems like a humongous topic or theme, and but faith is so essential for us believers, because faith is for this world. We won't need faith in heaven. Faith is for now. And faith accesses God's greatness. Without faith, we're going to see it's impossible to please God. We believers live by faith, not by sight, not by what we see in this world, but we live by what we know about God. And we walk by faith, not by sight. So today specifically, we want to look at how faith benefits the believer for this world, and also how faith is the foundation of what we hope for. You know, faith has always been the way to access God's goodness and grace. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You see, our faith always leads to benefits for the believer. It's how we access God. It's how we access his riches. Because, you know, our faith is actually like a key to God's treasure chest of wealth and riches while here on earth. Our faith is actually the tool where we connect to God. And it's by grace that we access his riches. And you know, his riches are found in his grace. You probably know the acronym, you know, G-R-A-C-E. It's such a great reminder to me what grace actually is. Because G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. It's all of his wealth that he wants to pour abundantly into our account. We can't buy his grace. He owns it. But it's a gift to us believers. And it's also his favor upon us while here on earth. Because it's by grace that we access his riches, his grace. This next verse, we know, is the beginning of grace, which is our salvation, is a gift of his grace. For by grace you have been saved through what? Through faith. It's by faith that we accessed his grace to even save us. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And we all know we can't earn salvation, but it's a gift. But salvation is the beginning. The beginning of grace. I used to think, you know, grace, oh yeah, that's that thing that we got because now we're forgiven and we're going to heaven. You know, that's what grace is for. Grace is so much more than that. It's for here on this earth so that we can overcome the enemy, overcome this world just as he has. You know, that's what grace is for. And the next verse we're going to see that he actually became poor so that we could become rich. And this is 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. He became poor and devastated on the cross, that you through his poverty might become rich. You know how rich we are in grace? You know what is in our account to tap into at any time through faith? And yet sometimes we just don't appreciate what we actually have in Jesus Christ and everything that he's equipped us to have in this life here and now so that we can glorify him and live in triumph and victory in this world here and now. Grace we can't earn. It's given to us. You know, God, we know what justice is, right? And God is just. Justice is getting what you deserve. And the courts of this world, when they judge people, hopefully, sometimes, most of the time, hopefully, are just. In other words, if you commit a crime, you're going to be committed to prison, right? You're going to be convicted of that crime and put away. If you're innocent, hopefully you'll be set free. That's what justice is. And we know what our sinful nature required of God's justice. okay, was hell and damnation. But it's because we possess Christ in us, because we are born again believers and we now have his spirit, we have him living in us, that the justice of our sins, the wrath of God was poured upon Christ, and now we are justified as if we'd never sinned, you know? We are now not going to get what we deserved in God's justice because he already convicted his own son, Jesus, for our sins. And God is also merciful, and mercy is not getting what you deserve. And we know that we did not get what we deserve because we are forgiven of all of our sins, because now we are in Jesus Christ and we are set free of our sins, and he no longer looks at us as the sinners that we once were. And that's what mercy is. But grace is getting what you don't deserve. Grace is favor. It's his wealth of his treasure chest that he chooses to gift us. And that's what his grace is. It's his favor upon us when we really didn't deserve it, but now it's ours to have. You know, even in the Old Testament, the patriarchs all found grace in the eyes of the Lord because of their obedience in faith. It was credited to them as righteousness. But we believers now are debited righteousness. You know the difference between credit and debit? It's like when you go to the store and you buy something with credit. Oh boy, I don't know how I'm going to pay for that someday. You know, that's credit because you still owe. But debit means I just paid for it. It's paid, you know, because it was already taken from my account. You know, we believers now, post-resurrection of Christ, we possess grace. But let's look at these verses about the Old Testament believers. Of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. And the next verse, for the law was given through Moses, and when they obeyed, they received his grace. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We now own grace. It's ours. We possess it. The prophets of the past, they knew something was coming. Someone was coming, a Messiah, who would actually debit that grace into our souls. And watch this verse. It tells us that the prophets knew it was coming. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, to us. You know, we possess his grace. They found favor in the eyes of the Lord. We now own grace in the Lord. Because we are in Christ, we possess his favor. You know, faith has always been the conduit or the connection to his grace. While I was in the Dominican, we all coveted the Claro wireless card from Luis and Vicente. That, you know, we wanted to access the internet, but it was only this card you were going to use on that mountaintop to connect to the internet. And we had to check our emails and post blogs, you know, on the website, mypulse.org, by the way, if you want to check out some of the things from the DR and from the junior high youth missions trip into Philly. But we needed that. You know, you need, just like that card accessed the internet, our faith accesses God's grace. Faith has always been the way we access God's wealth. Look at this next verse. Romans 5:2, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're going to talk later a little bit more about hope, like I said, and even the glory of God that we have in our faith. Just to kind of pound this point home a little bit, to think in terms of earthly, tangible things. If the Holy Spirit transferred his grace into your account, your checkbook or debit card would be your faith. That's how we access his grace. It's through our faith. Another example would be like an oil reserve in the earth. I know oil may someday run out. You know, I don't know after that spill in the Gulf. I wonder if how much oil is really under there. I think that 30 years they predicted ran out right there in the Gulf of Mexico, but we still have some. But assuming oil would never run out for a minute, if grace was that oil reserves in the earth, then the oil well or pumping station would be faith to access his grace. You know, that's what our faith is. So to put some more flesh on that idea of faith, while we were in the Dominican, we stayed on this mountain in Barahona, in a very poor area, and we stayed in a house which was Grace and Peace Missions. And the gentleman who ran that ministry, it was like a mansion we stayed. I got to admit, I'd love to say that we roughed it, but we didn't. Okay. If you want to check out the pictures, you'll see. I mean, this place would cost millions somewhere else. But here it is on that mountain. I don't know what it's worth, but not nearly as much, you know. But it was a really cool place, a little rough here and there, but it was an amazing, humongous place that we stayed at. And the owner, I guess you could say, of the house was Bill Rumpel. So we stayed there, but what we did while we were there was work alongside of Calvary Chapel of Barahona. And that's where we served, and we did all these work projects and did the ministry. So we worked with Calvary Chapel, but we stayed at Bill Rumpel's house. So when we went out to work on these projects, I told them, I said, yeah, we have amazing kids. Let me just tell you. I mean, there's only 7 leaders, but there are 28 kids. And I said, we want as many projects as you can get us because these kids can do it. So when we first got there, they stacked up 5 projects for us, and we were done them in 2.5 days. Putting in cement floors with foundations, handicap ramps for Ramon. I mean, amazing thing. So anyway, I said, well, get as many things as we can. So we went down, bought the supplies, and then Luis says, you know, we need more tools. And I said, oh. And he says, you know, we only have this much, but we have to be at 2 or 3 different places. Can you talk to Bill Rumpel and borrow some of his tools? I said, well, why can't you talk to Bill Rumpel and borrow some of his tools? This is your ministry. No, I didn't say that. But I said, you talk to him. No, but he said, well, I asked him a couple of weeks ago for his tools, and he wouldn't lend them to us. So I don't know what the deal there was, but that's not what this is about. So I said, all right, I'll talk to him, okay? So I went to Bill Rumpel, and I said, hey, Bill, and he and I really connect, especially last year. We had a lot of great God talk and everything, and I really am fond of Bill. And so anyway, I went and I said, Bill, you know, can we borrow some tools? You know, and he says, absolutely not. And then he smirked, you know, and he says, what do you need? Okay. So we walked around. There are some shovels, picks, wheelbarrows, you know, go see so-and-so. He might have some rebar for the, you know, the ramp, whatever. And go ahead. So we leave with wheelbarrows, tools, cement buckets, you name it. We're just walking out of the gate with all this stuff. I mean, he graced us. He didn't have to give us that stuff. He graced it for us because he wanted to see God's work done, and he was fond of us, and we were in his care. We stayed at his place. We basically belonged to him while we were on the mount, and he was going to equip us for what we needed. And then later in the week, we said, we need more projects. So he says, okay, well, we got this house that needs to be sided. I mean, imagine this. You don't have walls. And every night, thieves run through the mountains stealing stuff. You can hear the dogs barking all night long. And those are the thieves running through different properties. And you don't even have walls. So we said we're going to side that house. But also, there's this other house of a family that goes to a church. And they need a cement floor. But they're on the other side of the mountain. They don't even have any. They don't deliver water there. There is no running water in any of these houses. And there's no creek nearby. I don't even know what they drink. Really. They don't drink water. So I'm like, I said, well, how are we going to get water there? Well, can you talk to Bill? And I'm like, oh boy, here we go again. Huh? So I said to Bill, I said, you know, we need some water on the other side of the mountain. And he says, well, yeah, I got to go to the farm, but all right, come here. So he says, okay, you got these barrels. Use my truck, the truck he was about to take to the farm. Use my truck, use my water from the well, and take the take the truck. So there we are driving with two of the kids in the back of Water Spud. They're having a blast. And these roads are boulders, nothing paved. Boulders, rocks, crevices from water, you know, washouts. I mean, you literally can wipe out your whole undercarriage if you just turn a little. And he let me drive. He didn't even go. He said, here's the truck. You got to push this button and kind of crank it, you know. And all of his trucks are breaking down. And this is the one truck that works well that can get him out to the farm. And he lends it to me, you know. And it was a fun trip and everything. But, you know, he graced us again. You know, God wants to just keep pouring his graces into our life. He wants us to have faith to say, I want more. I want more because I want to glorify you, Lord. I need more. Okay, what do you need? What do you want? You know, he wants to keep blessing us and gracing us with things. You know, Jesus rarely rebuked his disciples. You know, he did tell the disciples, you know, let those children come. You know, what are you doing telling them not to come? He loved kids. But mainly what he rebuked his disciples for was lack of faith. You know, why did you have such little faith? You know, I mean, I would have let you do whatever I was doing. You know, Peter, you're sinking. You know, why did you lack faith? You were just hydroplaning across the sea with me, and now you're sinking. You know? And you feed the 5,000. You know, you just cast demons out last week. Why not this one? You lack faith. You know, we lack, if we just believed what we have at our disposal, he would give it to us. Because his grace is ours to have. There may be three different types of people in this place right now. There can be the person with no faith in God. And unfortunately, so far, this message doesn't apply to you. Because you really don't have access to his riches, his grace. Because grace begins with salvation. You know, I hope by the end of this message, you'll say, I want to give my life to Christ because I want in on this. You know, I want in on this grace. I want salvation. You know, I want it because this life, this world isn't getting any better. And then there's the double-minded Christian. The one who did have enough faith at one time to say, yes, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm a sinner. Yes, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes, I believe he died for me. Yes, I want salvation. And you gave your life to Christ. But now you're living by sight. You're no longer using your faith to access what God has for you. You're living life on your own course. And he wants you to rely on him. Because if you don't, you know what's going to happen? It's impossible to please God without faith. You're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on ministries he wants you to be involved with. You're going to miss out on glorifying Jesus Christ, who you're here to be to this world. You know what I mean? You're going to miss out. Don't miss out, man. James warns the double-minded thinker. You're not going to get what you ask for because you're double-minded. Can't access his grace without faith. Now, the next thing I'd like to talk about is grace is the foundation of faith. Let's put this verse up here. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. That word substance, hypostasis, the Greek word means subsurface or foundation. It's faith that we stand upon and we hope for what we know God is going to do in our life. It's that hope we need through times like Aurora, Colorado. Through times of devastation of this life, we have hope to look beyond that. Hope has always been needed from every believer. David, when he was running through the desert, hiding in caves from a crazy king named Saul, he hoped that Samuel, who spoke the word of God, who anointed him to someday be king, he hoped on what he would someday be, in spite of his current circumstances. Joseph, when he was thrown in an empty well by his own brothers and then sold into slavery and then became a servant and then falsely accused of rape and then thrown in prison. Years just saying, what happened to all those dreams I had of people bowing to me? You know, I know God has favored me. Everywhere I go, somehow, in spite of my circumstances, good things start happening to me because he had faith. He had faith, and that gave him his hope that he needed to get beyond the temporary circumstances and know the truth about God. You know, Daniel being thrown into the lion's den. Well, if it's time to be eaten, it's time to be eaten. But you know what? I have hope in my Redeemer. Whatever he's going to do is what I'm going to trust in, you know? And he knows what's best for me. Paul, when he was sitting in prison with chains on, he said, I write to you fellow partakers of God's grace, his favor. Paul, you consider yourself still favored by God in prison with shackles on? Absolutely. Because he lived in the hope. Because he had the faith to stand on, you know? You know what hope is? It's the ability to look past, to see past the lies that the enemy is saying. You know, you really are a loser. You know, you are so worthless. It's the ability to hear past that and look past the lies of the enemy. It's even the ability to look past the facts, because the facts change constantly. What the facts are today, this very minute, are going to be different facts later. But it's the ability to see the truth, because the truth never changes in spite of the facts. Because in spite of the fact that I might have just fallen again and sinned in that area, I know the truth and who lives through me. And I know everything is possible through Christ. I know I can look past these temporary facts and live in victory beyond these. You know, it's never too late to live in the hope that Christ has given to you. Because it's the truth. And you got to believe the truth. Hope purifies us. Let's put that verse up. 1 John 3. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he, Jesus Christ, is pure. You know, I know that my hope will purify me towards what I want to be in Christ. And hope never disappoints us either. Look at this verse here. And this is Romans 5:5. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given to us. We are purified, and hope never disappoints. It always comes through for us. You know, we say that the faith is the foundation of what we need to have hope in our life. And let's look at a couple of foundation verses that we know. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, and then it goes on from there, that says this will collapse. And we also know in Hebrews chapter 6, the foundation, God wants us to build towards perfection, because we know that God wants to build perfection into our life. And he says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. You know, a lot of us, when Jesus said to his disciples, he rose again. And where did he tell them to go? He didn't tell them to go back to Golgotha and just stay at the cross for the rest of your life. Don't get me wrong. The cross is our birth. That's where we are birthed. But he wants to live in victory. You know, some of us are almost addicted to repentance for sins that we keep on doing. You know, we are not sinners anymore. That thing that people keep saying, I am a sinner saved by grace. No, I'm not. I am not a sinner. You know what a sinner is? One devoted to sin. One still a bond slave to sin. Is that who you are? I don't think so. We are now a bond servant of righteousness. He has set us free. We're just singing that. He has set us free from sin. We are now set free. We are no longer a sinner. And this is saying, let's move beyond the foundation of those things that we already know, but let's build towards perfection. Like I was saying, we were building some foundations for floors in these houses, and we'd build with stone and everything so it would hold up the floor that we would then put in. Could you imagine what those people were hoping for? Well, no longer will I wake up with bugs all over me. You ever get bit by fire ants? Well, these little suckers sting, man. I got a few of them while I was digging in some dirt, and I'm like, what the heck is this? You know, I mean, they sting for being tiny little things. But no longer will I be having bugs all over me at night. No longer will I have dirt everywhere, all the time. No longer in the middle of the night when it starts pouring rain will I have creeks running through my living room, which is my whole house. That's what they have to hope for. You know, what do we hope for? You know, when we build a foundation of our faith, what are we hoping for? We're hoping to glorify God. That's what we hope for. Look at this verse here that says, again, Romans 5:2. Let's go on to the next one. Romans 5:2. Through whom also we have access by faith, once again, into his grace in which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You know, do you know what glory is? It's God's opinion. It's his heavenly value. It's his appraisal of you. You know how valued you are to him? And when he looks at you, do you know what he thinks about you? His face shines upon you. Because to you, you are so worth everything he's done. That he's given you everything that he has, even for here, to overcome this world. And he looks upon you and his face shines upon you. Just like when Moses went up to Mount Sinai and he spoke to God and his face came back radiating to the Israelites so that they would listen to his word, although that dimmed down. But we have the radiance of Christ because, you know, Christ is the radiance of the Father and we are the radiance of Christ. And when he looks upon us, we are his radiance. Are we looking back at him? Are we keeping our eyes fixed on him so that we will shine, or are we looking away? Just not into it right now, God. I have other things I want to look at. He wants to look upon you, and he wants his face to shine upon you so that you will be the radiance of him on this earth. You know, he put us in charge. He's not here because we're here. That's a scary thought. But that's true. That's why he's not here now. Again, Hebrews 11:1. Hope does not disappoint. You know, we see the answer of our faith here on earth. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, like we said, and the evidence, the proof of things not seen. It might be not seen for a short time, but then we see it. You know? Jesse and Jake, they're my sons. They were playing today on the worship team. And about 10 years ago, 10 or 11 years ago, I used to help out up here with the ministry, the worship ministry. And I just felt God was saying, invest in your kids. Invest, you know, their ministry. Pray and believe that they will glorify God. And so what we did is we started doing worship instead over, you know, I brought them over. We started doing children's worship over there. And Zach and Jesse would play along with me, you know, at first. And all of a sudden, after a while, it's like, get out of here, Dad. No. They were certainly adequate. And I just kind of stepped away. And they continue to do worship for children's ministry. And now Zach does worship for our youth group. And Jesse leads worship down at the Crew, which is like Campus Crusade for University of Penn and Drexel. And he leads worship down there. You know, I just look back, and now Jake is following their footsteps. But I just kind of look back. I say that, believe me, this is no glory at all for me. It's just a little bit of mustard seed faith that says, you know what, Lord? I just want them to glorify you. You know? You sent your kids on missions trips. The junior high went to Philly. And I'll be honest with you, some of those neighborhoods are worse than the mountain we were on this past week. Really. I mean, but they were well protected, by the way, for next year. Don't worry. Okay? no, but, and we went home up to Newtown at night, so we were safe, but in suburbia. But it was rough, but you trusted in your faith. Your faith was the foundation, and you had hope that your kids would glorify God. And they did. You heard what they said when they came back. You saw the pictures. Tons of children and adults were saved, and your kids came back transformed. Your faith became reality. The same thing with the senior hires. You know, you sent them trusting that your faith would become a reality, and it did. If we trust God, he says, wisdom is proven right by her children. You know, if you just trust God and have hope, he never disappoints. He always produces what you would like to see. Because if you're hoping for the right things, God will be glorified in spite sometimes of us. You know, someday Jesus is going to come back. And I believe he's going to say, let's see, I gave you my power. Okay, I gave you authority. I gave you keys. I gave you a family of other brothers and sisters of grace. I deposited my Holy Spirit in you. I've equipped you with my divine nature. And I have favored you with my grace. And I don't know what he's going to say next. I know what I want him to say to me. And I know what I want to say to him. But you fill in the blank. What do you want the rest of the conversation to be? I mean, he's given you everything. Everything you need to overcome and to glorify Jesus Christ. And I want to take full advantage of that. But there's things in your life right now that you just know shouldn't be there. If you left your deposit card with the enemy, he's been swiping it, you know? If you're not taking full advantage of what's been deposited into your account because you've allowed sins and the world to obstruct the flow of his grace. Is it worth keeping it there? Is it really worth it? Because, you know, facts change. You know who Alex Sullivan is? He was a guy who was in that movie theater on his 27th birthday. And he tweeted, 1 hour till the movie starts, this is going to be the greatest birthday ever. Facts change, but the truth doesn't. Live in faith and hope, and he will never disappoint you. Use the grace that he has deposited into your account and overcome, and the enemy will run. He's so dopey, he roars when he gets near you just to warn you he's coming. You know what I mean? But he will run from you. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for your grace that we could never earn or buy with good works. It's there for us to have. And Lord God, we want to glorify you and radiate you to this world. And you're just wanting us to take advantage of what you've already done. So Lord God, as we sing this last song, may we remember how much you value our life, that you give everything you had to get it, and you're just waiting to live through us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.